So good morning. So I don't know if you have been following what's happening in Nepal. And one of the things that really caught my attention is that there were hundreds of pilgrims on their way to the holy mountain of Mount Kailash, which is considered to be the center of the earth for Hindus and Buddhists and Jains. So it is their holy mountain. And hundreds of these people were swept away on their pilgrimage. Some of them had saved their entire life to make this pilgrimage. And they were on their way there. And in the ancient times, mountains were considered to be holy places because it was a liminal place where the sky met the earth. So on these high places were considered to be holy, set apart. It's where the divine would dwell. And so we find something similar this morning in Moses' encounter with the burning bush on Mount Horeb. So he is, if you'll remember the story, he has fled Egypt. Remember, Moses was born under the persecution of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh was killing all of the male children of the Hebrews because he felt threatened by their numbers. And so his mother, in order to preserve Moses, takes him and puts him in a basket and hides him in the Nile River with her older daughter keeping watch. And Pharaoh's wife finds the baby and takes him out and adopts him as her own. And Moses is then put in charge of overseeing all the slaves of Egypt. And when he catches one of his taskmasters beating one of the slaves, he actually kills the taskmaster. And so he flees into the wilderness. And this is where he encounters God. And God appears to him on the mountain in a burning bush. And scripture is very clear to point out that the bush is burning, but it is not consumed by the fire. Very different from what's happening with the timber fire in Big Sur, where everything is consumed. So it makes a very clear statement that God's presence is a blessing and gracious. And so Moses encounters the very presence of God. And God calls him to set his people free. Now, if you'll remember the stories we've been hearing through the book of Genesis, so in the Garden of Eden, they flee. And in order to redeem God's people, God calls a particular family, Abraham and Sarah, through which God chooses to bless the entire world. And so it's through this family. And this family then becomes enslaved in Egypt. So here we see the process of redemption. One of the big statements that the book of Exodus makes, it's important to remember what the other gods were like that surrounded the Hebrews. The book of Exodus makes a huge statement about who God is, that God is not like these other gods. All of the creation stories that surround them underpin a tyrant king who enslaves all of the people. And all of the laws are made by the king to serve the king, and human beings are born out of the blood of a demon. Now, I would much rather choose this story. So this is what the Hebrew story is doing. God is redeeming the people of Israel and making a statement that I am not like these other gods who use people to simply serve the gods so that the gods can kick back with their feet up and rest. God turns it upside down and he lifts up the oppressed and calls them to be in a covenant relationship with himself. Do you know how radical that message is? Not to reinforce the status quo, which is what the other stories did, but to call the oppressed to be in a covenant relationship and leadership with God, to be co-creators with God. It is a radical new message in the Near Eastern world, what we would now call the Middle East. So here is the gospel unfolding in the book of Exodus. And Moses wonders, well, who should I tell them? Sent me. Enuma Elish? That's one of the surrounding gods. The god of Molech, who sacrifices children. Who am I to tell the people of Israel that sent me? And God doesn't give him a name like he wants. He simply says, I am that I am. I will be what I will be, and I will become what I will become. I am not dependent on anyone. I am reality. So Moses, this is his calling. A man who has fled his people is called by God to be the prophet to free the people. And it's a profound message for us today. If we look at what's happening in our world, it seems that we're going back towards those old creation stories where tyrants enslave the people and they make the laws that enslave them. So the message is to lift up the oppressed and to give them the law to set them free, that they might be co-creators and co-leaders with God. There's nothing more underpinning to the value and the worth of the human person to God, to be in personal relationship. So this is a radical departure from the ancient world teaching. I was yesterday attending the opening of the new field house at All Saints Day School. And Ann Healy, who is on the board of trustees, was there with us, and we were having a conversation. And I don't know if you know that Ann is traveling around tirelessly right now, encouraging people to vote. And the story that she is sharing is her experience of marching on Selma, you know, many years ago for civil rights. And so she is having to tell the story to all of these young people who don't know that story, to help them remember what it cost for people to have the right to vote. Because they don't know. They don't realize the preciousness of what they have. And it's very similar to this story. We don't realize the preciousness of the message we have been given, that we have been called to be in relationship with God, that the message that God has given us is radically different than the message that underpins a single person being a tyrant, ruling the people who are considered to be worthless, but only there to serve the king. That's the message of the gods that surround the Hebrew people. And so the whole book of Exodus is God shatters the power of Pharaoh and empowers the people to be in relationship with God, that they might be co-creators. And it is out of this that Jesus emerges as the new Moses, who offers himself, who empties himself to set us free from darkness, to keep us from returning to those old ways, those old stories. And, you know, with this whole debacle that's happening in Nepal, and also with the fires, it's very clear that it is the result of climate change, that the glacier broke away from the mountain and caused this. That is caused by human action. And the whole story of the biblical world is that God has set in place moral laws to govern the universe, to hold it together. And when we violate that, there are consequences. And we see the unraveling of that in our world. And so what I heard one of the commentators say, what is so sad, is that the people of Nepal are probably the least to contribute to climate change, yet they are suffering the most because of it. Because they lead such simple lives, and we in the West are the greatest consumers, the greatest users of energy that is creating global warming. And so this next month we're entering what the World Council of Churches calls the season of creation, where we are called to be in relationship with God and the earth as stewards, to look at the actions, to look at our actions that are causing destruction in our world, and to ask for forgiveness and to find ways of once again entering into that covenant relationship with God, to be co-creators, not destroyers, but to be co-creators with God in creating a world that is safe for everyone. So it's important for us to remember where the good news came from. Just like Anne is telling all of these people where they received the right to vote. They have no idea of the struggle that many people went through in order to make that happen for them. And so we look back over the years and all of the struggle that the people went through to bring us the good news that there is another way of living, that we're not called to be in service to a tyrant, but to be in service to a God who wants to be in relationship with us and who calls us to be in responsibility and to be creators with God in our world. Amen.